Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by His name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
Murder. Phew. One commandment we don't have to worry about. We never killed anybody. What a relief. But before you get too comfortable in your righteousness, we have a problem. Jesus said that the thoughts of our hearts are the same as our actions. To Him, murder is a condition of the heart. We're going to examine the sixth commandment today, and what we're going to find will both surprise and shock most people. We're going to find that the spirit of murder is so rampant in our society today that it's almost impossible for us not to join in with it, consciously or unconsciously. The fact is, we get away with murder, or at least we think we do. How could this be true? Find out how in just a few minutes, right here on Skies Revival Radio.
See the light on the water, dancing patterns on the waves, reflection.
Hi, this is Tom from the Sky Family. We're continuing a study today on the Ten Commandments. Today, we're on Commandment 6, Thou Shalt Not Murder. In the last lesson, we showed how the Bible distinguishes between killing and murder. Killing is allowed under God's law in certain conditions, but murder is never allowed. And what are the conditions? Well, you'll have to go back and listen to last week's message. And how do you do that? Type in Skies Revival Radio in your search, and it will bring up the previous lessons. Or you can get a copy of the book. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. It's available on Amazon, or you can get a free download by going to our website. Just type in Sky Family and we'll come right up. Click on the link that says Revival Begins With You and it will take you to the download. Now we're going to continue with this eye-opening look at the sixth commandment. And when we do, we'll find some pretty surprising things about ourselves and the world around us. The main thing is that it's the attitude of the heart that defines the sin of murder. For the most part, like the first commandment, that we should have no false gods before him, we feel like at least we have this commandment under control. We feel pretty good since we're confident we have never killed anyone. But contrary to our high esteem of our own virtue, we probably break this law more than all the others except for the first. Let's consider the following. We travel along our Christian path fairly smoothly. We're upstanding and friendly. We content ourselves that we like people and we are likable, and therefore we are fulfilling Jesus' command to love God and neighbor. That is, until someone wrongs us. The moment we are crossed, watch out. Suddenly, we are righteously indignant. We are convinced of our innocence. We are incensed that our rights have been infringed on. If we are not able to set things right by blasting the person, it burns down deep into us. Carnal Christians, we are. All love on the outside, but bitterly protective of self on the inside. If we are wronged in any way, we lash out with severity. Nor does it have to be a major attack. It can be something as tiny as a look we perceive to be slighting us. It might not even exist except in our own imagination. But it doesn't matter. It infects us and pollutes us with the sin of murder. Of course, our enemy, the devil, wants to make this as easy as possible for us. He's delighting in the wake of destruction that will follow. Working with our own fallen nature, he bombards us with feelings of anger and resentment. How lucky we are to be alive today. In centuries gone by, the church would have instructed us to die to self, to let it go, and to forgive our enemies. And that would have been painful and unpleasant. But today, we don't have to worry about that. We can go to the church or attend a seminar or go to a counselor who will instruct us on our right to be angry. We'll be given a complete arsenal of weapons to use against the offending party. If it is a husband, by all means, if he has hurt you emotionally in any way, get rid of him. The marriage contract means nothing if your rights are being violated. So our modern society and our modern church encourage the very anger and resentment that in times past would have been identified as sin. As these feelings are allowed to grow and fester, they become the polluting springs of the swamp of murder. So we see that the sin of murder is rampant in society and rampant in the church and rampant in us. Adding to this, we have the highly volatile rocket fuel of Hollywood being poured onto our fire. In every movie, there must be a villain in order to make a good plot. The aspiration of Hollywood is to make the audience loathe the villain to such a degree that they are delighted to see him or her blown to pieces in the end. This is stock for action movies as well as drama, but also plays into romantic comedies where the intent is to pay it out to the bad guy. We, the audience, are supposed to identify with the hero and enter into his own rage against the enemy. I call it the Rambo effect, because it is so clearly seen in that old movie. For the most part, and especially in that movie, they are very successful in their craft. The audience really does want to be right alongside the hero, blasting away at the inhuman communist torturers and the deceitful American commanders. It seems to be overwhelmingly the right thing to do. But what seems to be gratifying raw human emotion against supreme injustice actually falls into another category with God. And that category is murder. Now we get to the heading of love thy enemies. But wait, didn't we already conclude that killing is allowable under the condition of war? Yes, it is. Then how come it would be murder in a case like we just described? Because Jesus said, love your enemies. So how do those two fit together? How do justice and love fit together? Easy. We are to love our enemies even if our duty lies in fighting against them, even if it means that they must be killed. We are to do our duty, but we are to take no pleasure in doing that duty. We are to have the mind of God in the matter. The Lord God takes no pleasure in punishing evil deeds. He takes no delight in sentencing even the most wicked to hell. He does what he must to maintain justice in the universe. In this way, we can see a small reflection of his nature in that of a loving parent. No matter what the child has done, the true parent is never anything but sorrowful to have to punish. Interestingly, as you look over the battlefields of history, you will see that the generals and the fighting men that God has blessed and raised up to honor are those who did their job without entering into a spirit of hatred towards the enemy. That is because they have killed without entering the sin of murder. They have kept their heart motivation free of hatred. Those who use their hatred to fuel their attack will inevitably be destroyed. They have entered the spirit of murder and have killed because they wanted to. Even those who are being tortured are required to maintain a loving demeanor toward their persecutors. God is strict in regard to his people. He does not want his people to enter the spirit of murder under any circumstances. Jesus requires us to be perfect, even as our Father in heaven is perfect. As we consider these things and apply them to our sports arenas, we find that the spirit of murder is rampant on the fields. From peewee hockey and little league to high school and college sports, we find that winning is everything. In an effort to pump up the team and get more out of them, many times the athletes are coached to foster a spirit of anger or hatred toward their opponents. It's that desire to kill the other team that is precisely what is being addressed in this sixth commandment. Gone are the days of sportsmanship when the goal was skill and camaraderie. Now we cultivate a violent desire to annihilate the enemy in our all-consuming drive to win. Interestingly, in the field of sports, as well as on the battlefield, it's those who don't enter that mentality that do well and are blessed by God. So many of the best athletes are those who practice good sportsmanship toward their rivals instead of hating them. God himself often elevates them to prominence. It's tragic to see how many pro athletes have adopted the kill the enemy persona. Not only does it kill the game, it kills their souls and the souls of the many kids who emulate them. If we extend this to include the heart attitude of those who are watching the game, it is clear that the spirit of murder prevails in our society. Have you ever watched parents at a grammar school game? Have you ever watched your own feelings toward a rival team while watching the big game? It's positively scary in the light of the heart of this command, thou shalt not murder. And the spirit of murder prevails today. Now, to get back to Hollywood, what we see here is a full-scale attempt to get the audience to empathize with the hero and in that enter the spirit of murder. Their idea is to work hard to bring that particular emotion out and then cause it to grow and envelop the viewer. So now, whenever we are personally caught up in that spirit of a movie or video game, we have indeed entered the sin of murder in our heart and need to repent earnestly before God. Can you imagine what this means as we are involved in our first-person shooter games, as we are in our battle mode in our video games? It is the spirit of murder that prevails through all of these games as well as our movies. That type of anger is not of God, no matter how justified it seems to be in the emotion of the moment. We need to steer clear of that type of movie and game altogether because we are no match for the overpowering skills of the entertainment industry. They will win and they will infect your soul. That is why, with the pursuit of personal revival, we emphasize the importance of abstaining from these things. They corrupt us in ways that we don't even know about. The murderous attitude of our favorite heroes also affects our general worldview. It's very easy to slip into that attitude when someone we esteem paves the way. And so our schools and our homes are filled with little copies of heroes who rage against their enemies. Ever hear of the angry gospel? That's not the gospel of Jesus. You go into a bookstore and you see the angry gospel Bibles. That's not of God. Steer clear. That's popular culture. It's indulging in things which God would have us to avoid. So be discerning. Be careful. We are to be blameless, innocent children of God in the midst of a perverse generation. Those who want to inherit eternal life must work hard to separate themselves from the prevailing winds of unacceptable behavior. Jesus himself will be the judge, and he said that even calling your brother a fool without repenting will result in the penalty of hell. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Jesus instructed us that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord and love your neighbor as yourself. So we must remember that our enemy, the devil, is always trying to stir up anger and incite conflict. And our job is to refuse. I love the title from an old movie. What if they gave a war and nobody came? The concept is both funny and intriguing. What if the devil stirred up a conflict in your house and you refused to participate in it? Here is the freedom of Christ. If someone demands that you walk a mile carrying their gear, walk with them too. You don't have to demand your rights. In Jesus, we are free to have our rights trampled. We are free from having to get even. Jesus himself will repay us any injury. In the story of Joseph, found in the book of Genesis, his brothers hated him and mightily harmed him by selling him into slavery. Joseph bore all the abuse and the injustice quietly and patiently. His time of suffering continued for a long period. Yet he faithfully entrusted his cause to God. In the end, Joseph had an opportunity to confront those same brothers. This time, he was the ruler of Egypt. While his brothers were quaking with fear, Joseph comforted them and told them, "Do not be afraid, for am I in God's place? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive." We can see from this example that we don't have to worry about the consequences of someone wronging us. Our command is to love them and to pray for them, knowing that we also offend many and are full of various sins ourselves. God wants us to love those who despitefully use us. We turn to the cross. Jesus is not just telling us to do these things. He lived them out for us. Imagine enduring the hatred and abuse of those who crucified him. And yet his last words were, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." Let's pray. Lord, deliver us from the spirit of murder. Deliver us from the spirit of murder in our entertainment. Lord, make us to be blameless in our ways and blameless in the thoughts of our heart. Lord, make us courageous to act in accordance with your word, separating ourselves from the violent heart attitude which pollutes our souls. Lord, please help us to be like you. Help us to be a blessed peacemaker. Even if we are in the armed forces and we must do our job, Lord, help us to do it with the heart attitude of our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Be sure to visit skiesrevivalradio.com, where you'll find many encouraging resources, including the first book of our Revival Begins With You series. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door into Radiant Life, and is available in hard copy or download. You'll also find Celtic Revival music CD and other uplifting materials there. We look forward to getting together with you again next week.
These radio programs are aired weekly all across the country and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they are supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. Or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.
This song is from the Skies Celtic Revival CD, which is available on the Sky Family website or on iTunes.